Welcome to another episode of There's Just Something About Kansas City. When you see what's behind me here and the gentleman sitting beside me here, you'll understand exactly where we are. Boulevard Brewing, Bobby Dykstra, Executive VP, but that pales in comparison to Sir Bobby Dykstra. Okay, do you want to explain this situation?
Finally.
I am sitting with a member of royalty. Okay, yeah. Do you want to explain this, sir? Which
a little
is
respect.
A real deal. Go ahead.
I wish I got this at home. that's right. Sir Bobby Dykstra. No. Well, thank you. Very flattering. Our company out of Belgium, Duvel Morket, that mm-hmm. runs Boulevard Brewing Company, and we're part of a big family of breweries, obviously has big business in Belgium. And every year they get to appoint a few people to become Belgian Knights. And I was last year. It was a really cool thing to experience. I got to take my family, which was awesome.
Did you have to kneel? Did you have the headdress on? Did you have the whole nine yards here?
Man, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't quite that, but like on the Grand Place, which is like their downtown, very historical place, there's all these old buildings, and there's this Brewers Museum that they hold it in, and it is like top floor, windows are open, and there's a big ceremony and just all these wonderful things going on. A beer fest to boot.
Sure.
So there's a lot of beer being drank, and it's a pretty formal occasion, really. I mean, it was...
it was a big deal. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm being serious.
No,
here.
It's
this
a neat
deal. It's a big deal.
It really was cool. It was a good achievement in my career. There are others, many others out there that have earned that distinction, but no one gives me sir at home.
it's
certainly not
hey
here
you,
at the brewery.
Take out the trash.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
yeah.
No, it's really cool. I'm humbled to be a part of it. It's a great group. And our job is to really promote Belgian beer and to promote beer in general out in the community. And so I take that responsibility wholeheartedly and make sure that I'm always representing beer well. It was really cool. And I'm glad you got to that. It should be at the top.
I think it should be on your card. It should be on the letterhead.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something maybe on my door to my office.
Absolutely.
Or
the door to the kitchen, one or the other. Right? Remember,
right.
I'm sir, okay? Treat me with more respect. Yeah, and the whole thing is the new owners, Develle, Morgott, is... They are a sort of a home brewery. 1871 they started,
yep.
And it is a family-owned brewery. So that lines perfectly with what you're doing here.
Absolutely. I mean, they're a small business. All put together, we're still smaller than some of the craft breweries here in the U.S. and independent, family-owned, make decisions around quality, mm-hmm. around people, sustainability, all the right things,
yeah.
The things that Boulevard has always held true to, and it really has been a wonderful marriage. And when Duvel Morket partnered with John McDonald and the brewery, some really great things happened. One of them being this building. So
yes.
This building being built in 2016 or rehabilitated for what it is today. And then a new warehouse and so many resources, a canning line that we didn't have in the past. They came in and really supported a lot of the things that we needed to get off the ground. And it's been fantastic for our business and for Kansas City.
Yeah, and it's been incredible. And we're going to talk about John McDonald here. Obviously, he was the guy. And I know he was in construction and he was a carpenter and the whole thing. I guess he went to Europe in the 80s, the early 80s
yep.
or something. And all of a sudden, he saw everybody, the beer and the whole thing. Tell me the story about John and the beer, and all of a sudden he comes back home and he sells everything and decides to set this up.
That's exactly it. So in the mid-80s, took a trip to Europe with his wife, Anne, and experienced a lot of Europe. I believe they were in France, and his wife, Anne, wanted to go out and see a lot of the museums. He was museumed out at that point, so found a park bench
or a brewery somewhere. Yeah,
exactly. So he stumbled into a Belgian beer bar and, tasted a lot of different beers from around Belgium, but around the world, and really fell in love with these different flavor profiles. And so many of those beer styles were neglected here in the States. I mean, this was a you know, and still very much is, a lager beer country. And when he came back home from there, he couldn't get the idea of those beers, the idea of those flavors out of his head. So started home brewing, got really good at that. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Ann, actually moved into his workshop, which is just across the street.
Historical and, railroad building, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so he was a carpenter at the time and kind of moved some of his carpentry stuff into the corner and started brewing. And his friend said, hey, you know, John, you should do that for a living. And, you know, he raised some capital and wrote up a business plan. And that original business plan was for 6,000 barrels, and today we do 150,000 at Boulevard. So he was very successful. We are thankful every day for John's vision, and we try to live to it. In fact, he was here at the brewery today. We're playing around with some new innovation for next year, and he was sampling it and giving us some pointers. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for him too, the interesting part is I think he brought his, I won't say vats or his brewing from Bavaria, right?
Sure.
So he brought in also, it wasn't like he went out and I said, just give me some of the new stuff and let's pop this in like, you know, like a big time brewery does and we'll just go from there. He did it right. He had a vision.
Oh, absolutely.
And he did it to that vision the whole time, didn't he?
Absolutely. He, you know, if you know John, John is a man that is committed to quality. Everything he does has an attention to detail. I mean, as a carpenter, that's how you have to be as an artist.
Right.
And I certainly would call John an artist. So he has an eye for detail, an eye for having high quality products that he deals with. And he put that same energy into the brewery. So exactly. I mean, he researched, found the best brew house that he could be afforded based on the investment that he had at the time. And here we are today, and we still have much of the same equipment, and we use it for test beers. It doesn't quite keep up with the scale that some of the beers that we have today, but it really was a cool commitment to quality very early. And at that time, there were only like 200 breweries in the U.S. Now there are 9,500, which is awesome. You know, it shows the explosion of craft beer.
Yeah.
But at that time, that was a really novel concept. He was there in the beginning with the likes of Sierra Nevada and Odell in Colorado, kind of in that class of craft breweries. And that was pretty early.
Yeah, I'd never had a craft beer until I came to Boulevard. Everybody said, this guy, John McDonald, he's got this craft brewery down on Southwest Boulevard. And I'm going, what's a craft brewery? Well, they make their own beer. So I'm thinking about the basement.
Sure.
Okay, what's he doing? Making it in the basement, blowing up all the bottles, like what he probably did when he originally started. And I'm thinking, what is this craft beer? And then all of a sudden I came down here and I started to sample the beer and I'm going, that beer is really good. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm sitting in Boulevard. I'm just, you know, obviously from your success, that beer is really good. Okay. And what they do is really good. Was he the original brewmaster? Was it his formula as well? And where did he get the original formula from?
Well, it is his formula. He had worked with some past brewers to, you know, build some recipes, but I mean, it's John's beer, pale ale, this beer right in front of me. This is the beer that started the brewery. But he had, you know, he worked with a number of folks that had brewed here in Kansas City in the past, people that, you know, tutored him as he got into the business of making beer. But in the beginning, it was, and still is for John, always been a passion for us. I mean, John, this was not, and is not a business
hobby
to John.
Yeah, it is still a hobby for him.
He loves it. And I think that's true of most everyone that works at Boulevard. I mean, we just love beer. We love the brewery. And that's why he did it. And that's why we all do it. We absolutely love it. So that's how he got started. He did seek out a lot of help. And his early beers were great. I'm sure he would tell you now with like the equipment we have today, the quality is even
better. It's gone up. Consistency and quality.
Hop consistency, the ingredients consistency that we get from around the country is better. So everything's improved, but he was making some really darn good beer. And like you, Boulevard was my first craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even really think of it as craft beer. I just thought of it as Kansas
beer.
City beer,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
And as I moved around in my own career, I always longed for that Kansas City beer, for that Boulevard beer. So it stuck with me for sure.
Yeah, right. And you come from beer background. Went to University of Missouri, St. Therese grade school, St. Pius X High School. You're a Kansas City kid. You went to University of Missouri. How did you get into this business and why did you get into the business?
Yep. It had me from the jump. One of my best
friends.
Well,
I'd say so, yeah. Hey,
that's right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Absolutely. I was in from the beginning. One of my best friend's dads was running a local distributor here. He was the general manager of a distributor, what is now Central State. So they're the Miller Coors distributor and the Boulevard distributor here in town. And so I worked for them sweeping the floors and repacking the
bottom
beer.
Bottom up.
Yep, absolutely. So anytime a driver went out and accidentally broke a few bottles of beer, they would bring it into the repack area, and they would always laugh. They all made the same joke, here's your job security. And that was funny like the first 50 times you heard it, but when you're rinsing bottles and repacking everything, you get tired of it. But that's how I did it, and I also ran on the trucks and helped deliver all around Kansas City. And then when I would go back to school to Mizzou, there was a local distributor there that I would do the same thing on nights and weekends and some early mornings. So I kept it up, and then when I finished school, I went on to grad school at Mizzou and was a teacher's assistant for a little while. Toyed with the idea of going to law school or staying in beer, and my heart was with beer. So hired with...
the exams are a lot easier to study for on beer than they are for the law boards.
I am very proud of that decision and happy with it. But I... went on to join Miller Brewing Company. I worked in Wichita, Kansas to start, then Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then made a big jump. My wife and I, Leslie and I moved to San Diego, California, where I worked for what became Miller Coors, and then moved ultimately up to the Bay Area. So spent like several years in California selling beer. And all the while, like really started to learn more about craft beer because California was so populous with craft beer, so much going on there, and always loved Boulevard. And again, I didn't think of Boulevard as craft beer, but hometown beer. And Boulevard was growing at the same time, really evolving. And so every few months, I would make a call to Boulevard and say, hey, you know, would you need some? Yeah, you got a job. I'm not too proud. I will certainly keep calling. And I was persistent. And ultimately, Bob Sullivan, who was the VP of sales here at that time, gave me a chance, and John McDonald gave me a chance. And roughly 13 years ago, I started in sales, and I've loved every moment. Wow. It's a wonderful company to work for.
Yeah, what's John McDonald like to work for? And what, with his vision and his, just the way he approaches things and approaches this city as well, it's just, he's been incredible.
He truly is. I mean, he's one of a kind. Mm-hmm. He's an artist. You know, the temperature, your blood pressure just goes down when you're around John. It's hard to describe. And he was here today, so it's really fresh. He is committed to quality. He's committed to flavor making. And, you know, so that's what's at the center of every decision for him. And people, you know, making the world a better place, the community a better place. I mean, John started Ripple Glass that does all the glass recycling here in town, so many community events. I mean, a saying that we use around here at the brewery is it's never wrong to do the right thing, and we attribute that to John. And so we strive here to live to that brand, the brand of John McDonald, and we're really proud to have him as the person that modeled it.
Yeah, and the thing, I see the slogan all the time, save the earth. Can we plant it with beer?
That's right.
Okay, that's terrific. That is right on. Okay, so you changed so many things, and you know, so many things come out. I was with Alex Gordon the other day, and you had Gordo's Golden Ale, and now you're working with the KC Kern, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, LaBama is, you're going to have she's going to be a brand manager. We just talked to Tech Nine.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got, you know, from Caribou Lou, you got the Bulu, and it's just, it's been incredible the way you craft all these things and do all these things with this city and the people in mind. And I think that's incredible. The only thing I want to know is how good are the brewmasters to be able to
oh
just turn this just up, let's go, just start with pale ale, and then all of a sudden you are doing Space Camper IPAs, and you're doing Quirks, and you're doing all kinds of stuff. What is there, one brewmaster? Are there 10 brewmasters?
You know, you're absolutely right. It is unbelievable what they do. They are magicians, and we come to them with a lot of crazy ideas, and they come to us with even crazier ones. But at the heart of our brewers, and it's a team mentality. We do have leaders in the brewing team, but everyone plays a role, and they're always at the heart of what they do is they want to make new flavors. They and I think increasingly so look to new flavors to create new beer styles. They always want to challenge the status quo, and that might be something that's completely new, and it might be something that they want to improve that they've been making for years. It might be in a Tank 7 or a pale ale, just minor tweaks to improve the beer, the head retention, the dry hopping. They're always tweaking things ever so slightly to improve them. And it is a load to bear, no doubt. They've got, we have a very big portfolio. They remind
you
us
think?
Of that. Yeah. And part of that is, you know, Boulevard has expanded so much over time because the consumer has changed. Consumers are looking for different brands, different products, different flavors, whether it's calorie counts. I mean, now non-alc beers are very popular, yeah. So we have three offerings there. And then at the same time as non-alcs are popular, super high alcohol IPAs, like 9% plus IPAs, are very popular. So kind of a contradiction to each other, but our brewers play with that. And then we have a line of hard seltzers, Quirk, which has just had tremendous success.
That skyrocketed for Quirk.
It has.
Right?
It was kind of our
thing, right?
Our COVID experiment. You know, we were playing around
good
a lot.
Good time to experiment, by the way.
Right. You know, we were here. We were spending a lot of time thinking about our business, and obviously it was a tough time for the bars and restaurants, which that's a huge part of our business. People don't realize that before COVID, around 40% of our business was in the bars. And for most of the large breweries, that's maybe 20%. So we're very over-indexed towards the bars and restaurants, and we'd have it no other way. I mean, that's where people experience beer. But when those were shut down largely, we had a lot more time on our hands.
Yeah,
so
right.
We started to play with hard seltzers and different beers, and hence Quirk.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a real fruit juice, hard seltzer, and it's found a lot of success.
Yeah, obviously. And I didn't ever know what an IPA was, what IPA stood for, Indian Pale Ale, right?
Yeah, right.
And I had no idea it meant. Also, it has a higher content of alcohol. So I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Real quick. It's about Tank 7.
There's no quick Tank 7 story.
Okay, no, obviously. But the only reason it's quick because I don't remember the whole story, okay?
You're in good company.
So I'm over on at the venue side at the Muehlbach Room,
okay?
And we're over there, and I'm doing it's a fundraiser for Kansas State. And I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was a fundraiser for Kansas State. So I'm going to MC it. I'm going to do the auction for this deal, right? So I walk in. Never heard of Tank 7 or anything else. I knew about Boulevard, knew about the pale ale and the whole deal. So I walk over to the bartender, and she says, at times she says, "Oh, we have a brand new product. It's called Tank 7. I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to try it, sure." So she gives it to me, one of those little Tank 7 glasses.
Well, sure.
So I'm thinking, it's a little sample. Okay, this is just a little sample of Tank 7. I said, "Wonderful, they just got new beer out, the whole deal." So I drink the Tank 7, and it's so smooth.
Oh,
okay?
Sure.
The beer is so smooth. Just goes down. I said, "Wow, that is really good." So I get done with that, and she said, "Do you want another?" I said, "Sure, I'll have another one." So she pours another one out, and I drink that one. I haven't even gone on yet, okay? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't move anything, okay? Mouth isn't moving. I'm slurring worse than I normally slur. So I'm going, "What? Oh, and she goes, "Oh, well, that's 8.5% alcohol." I went, "Oh my God."
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hammered before I even get started.
Right.
So it was a hell of an auction. At least that's what they tell me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But it was, that was my introduction to Tank 7 or beers at that time that were more than 4.5 or 5% alcohol. Okay, my first experience ever with.
Yeah, you might have bought some more items than you sold that night. Who knows? You might have been bidding.
Whatever it was, I don't want to go back and check, but it was crazy.
I'm guessing most of your audience has their own Tank 7 story, and that's certainly true for most of us. So yeah, it's dangerously drinkable. I mean,
it's so smooth.
One of the many talents of our brewers is they hide alcohol really well, too well sometimes. But no, I mean, it's one of the most balanced beers, I think, in the world. It's got like just enough hoppiness to almost give you that IPA flavor profile. It's got so much great Belgian beer characteristic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dangerously drinkable.
But like, it's all I had, really.
That's right.
So far.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But that will be empty. Either before we're done or quickly after we're done. Yeah, absolutely.
And outside of, you know, the Midwest or Kansas City, this is our top-selling beer, Tank 7.
Oh, really?
So here at home in Kansas City, in Kansas, Missouri, it's unfiltered wheat beer.
Right.
Pale ale. Space Camper is surging. But outside of our home market, right, Tank 7 is what we're really renowned for because it's such a differentiated beer. And people that are just really aficionados look to Tank 7 as one of the best saisons in the world.
Yeah, and also, I love Irish ale. Your Irish ale is just terrific because, you know, sometimes you'll drink the real Irish ale from Smithwick's or something from overseas.
Sure.
And it can't hold a candle to your Irish ale. I just think it's terrific.
It's one of our most popular releases every year. You know, most breweries change their seasonals every year, and we have a couple lineups that we change, but there's one that we don't. We do not change Irish Ale, and we do not change Bob's 47 Oktoberfest, and we don't change Nutcracker.
Yeah.
We bring those out every year. The summer seasonal, we've changed a couple times when we had some innovation, but Irish Ale is an anchor. I think there would be a lot of upset people around Kansas City if we changed that.
How tough is it to, you have a product that's out, and all of a sudden it is seasonal,
yep,
and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yes.
Like, say, after the first of the year, one of your Nutcracker
right,
or whatever will be gone for a while, and then you bring it back. How tough is that then to reintegrate it into the market and to get it back into the, you know, into brewing it again?
It's very difficult. I mean, perfection's unattainable. You're always either brewing too much or too little. Oftentimes, we err on the side of too little. Mm-hmm. But like Irish Ale, you've got to hit the nail on the head because come March 18th, it's not as popular anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So Irish Ale is one that we always have to really hit on the head. Our distributor here, Central States, and our distributors around the country do a wonderful job of ordering the right amount. Our brewers are very flexible, but it's something that we have to watch on the daily, mm-hmm, to make sure that we have just the right amount of product. So having seasonal beers is much more difficult than like year-round beers like Pale Ale or Tank 7 because you really have to watch how much you order and make.
Yeah, and before we talk about how this has exploded across the country and around the world,
sure,
who has a great job of being the taste tester for all the beer? I'll volunteer. Okay, I'll come down. I'll check it out. I'm not sure if I have the right flavor buds on that, but I'll give it a shot.
You'd surprise yourself. You know, some of the most people that would not think they've got a great palate are some of our best. And you are welcome anytime to come to a tasting session. We had one today, and every day, we have a team of people here at the brewery that volunteer. You don't have to ask too often for these volunteers. They put their hand up pretty quickly. They go and taste beer before it releases. So one of the really proud things about Boulevard Brewing Company that Kansas Cityans can, well, themselves be proud of is the quality.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very high-tech lab here, a lab to catch any off flavors, catch anything that shouldn't be in the beer, and make sure it's perfectly in spec. And that's all fine and good, but it's got to taste right.
Yeah.
So these people are well-trained. They leave their desk job, so they might be in accounting, they might be a brewer, they might be in marketing, they could be in sales. And two times a day, they convene in our lab,
mm-hmm,
and they taste everything that releases. So no beer comes out of this facility that hasn't been, A, run through all
right,
the technology, but B, passed the taste test.
Yeah,
and they do have great palates. They catch a lot of things. There's a lot of beer we unfortunately, you know, that might not make the specs and
right,
we have to dump or find another home for, but that's our commitment to quality. And yes, We'll take you on.
Thank you very
much.
You
might surprise
yeah.
yourself.
Thank you. And do you get to a point where you're trying a new brew, like a totally new concoction, and they taste it and just go, oh, God, that's God-awful.
Yeah.
We're not going to put that on the market. Yeah.
But
that just isn't going to make it.
Yeah, absolutely. There are things we
try.
To
find a niche for that kind of brew.
Yes, absolutely. We might have a vision in sales and marketing for something we want, and it might not hit exactly those mm-hmm. marks. I mean, the best beers are born by the brewers. They come to us with something they're excited about. They don't make a lot of mistakes, but it just might not be exactly
yeah,
what they
right.
want.
Exactly.
But with modern technology, with all the equipment they have, they can figure it out so quickly. But like today, again, we tasted like four or five different examples of mm-hmm. a beer that we're trying to bring out next year. That's how in advance we are. Mm-hmm. You know, we're about 12 months out from beer. Part of that is government regulations, and part of that is just designing artwork. We do all of our own in-house marketing. Mm-hmm. We have some of the most talented graphic designers, so we don't take that out to an agency. All of our design, we draw it, we make it ourselves. Not when I say we, it's certainly not me. The people at St. Pius can attest. I'm no artist, but we have such an awesome team, and so that's why it takes so long, because we integrate all the folks doing the design into the tastings, and that should inspire their design. So it's really a cool process, but a long one.
Well, you've exploded, and I think I'm not sure if I have this story exactly right, but is this the first craft brewery outside of, or in the state of Missouri maybe, or at least outside of St. Louis, that was ever allowed into St. Louis? Because St. Louis is so, because of Budweiser.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're just so, no, we don't need more beer. We don't need competition here. This is our baby. Isn't this the first craft brewery to get... That it was outside of the St. Louis area that was allowed into St. Louis?
I wouldn't doubt it. By design, it was at least artfully done. We've had a lot of success in St. Louis. St. Louis is a tough beer market, and they have a lot of their own local great craft breweries. But they celebrate Boulevard. They do a really good job of supporting us. And as a Missouri brewery, I feel like they've... helped us out quite a bit. I was just there this week. We have an awesome partner there, and Keg One is our distributor, and they make sure that Boulevard looks really good in St. Louis. And we sell a lot of Boulevard there. Not nearly as much as we do here, but St. Louis is an awesome market. And, as far as craft breweries go, yeah, we are the largest in Missouri, and mm-hmm. We aim to stay there,
sure.
But we got to win that with our consumers.
Yeah, well, I think you're doing a pretty good job with
that. Well, thank you.
Plus, I saw the other stat. I think you're in 45 states. That hasn't increased yet. And 11 foreign countries, I think, which is, it's phenomenal when you think about where John McDonald started, okay, in the old railroad building, and he has his workshops right next to it and the whole deal. But, okay, who are the three outliers? What three states are in this deal?
You're quizzing me here. Probably the extreme Northeast is where we're lacking.
You don't need them anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't need Maine or Massachusetts.
Well, we would love to. it's funny, in craft beer, there's been different periods of growth. And in one period of time, it was all about expansion. Mm-hmm. And Boulevard certainly was part of that run. So, we went from, when I started, we were in 13 states. Now we've gone to this, over 40. And a lot of breweries were doing that.
Yeah.
But business is hard away from home. I mean, you have to have awesome beers like Tank 7 to be successful. But the economics themselves really make it prohibitive, because you got to ship beer, and all of our beer has to ship cold, so that it's increasing freight costs. Plus, you have to find retailers and distributors around the country that are interested in your product, not just because you're local. And I heard Andy talking about this on
Andy Rieger
on a previous podcast.
Jay Rieger Co.
Absolutely, about the cost of doing business. Where you're not local, you have to stand on your quality. You have to have the right price point, and it should make Kansas Cityans proud. And both, his organization that they sell, Jay Rieger sells outside of the Midwest so well, and that we do. Like, you'll find Tank 7 in other countries. You'll mm-hmm. find Tank 7 in California on tap. You'll find Tank 7 in Miami, and they don't buy it because it's local. They buy it because it's great.
Yeah, right.
And also, there's Kansasitians and all those towns that
yes, there are. Yeah.
Keep asking for it, which helps us.
Especially the way the Chiefs have exploded as well. Gosh. So everybody, you have your own little. There's a bar in every city in the country. There's a Chiefs bar somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so
we're getting used to going to these Super Bowls. We like it.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
That's been a big help. That grows the Kansas City brand.
Yeah.
And as Kansas City's brand grows, Boulevard grows.
Yeah.
And so we certainly encourage the city.
Let's talk about collaborations. Let's talk about Andy Rieger. Great guy. We've had him on before. And he talked about you and how you guys have collaborated a little bit with trying to get the whiskey barrels and doing the beer in the whiskey barrels and doing all that. But I think it's the way everybody interacts here that we are Kansas City. You know, we're no longer flyover country. We are Kansas City. But I think that's been a big part of what you have done and Andy has done with Jay Rieger and bringing it back to its full glory, the way it was before Prohibition.
Sure, so. Absolutely. No, we prioritize local in everything that we do, in our partnerships and the beers we make and the community programs we invest in, the partnerships we have. So we've had partnerships with Rieger, Restless Spirits. We've had partnerships. We're making some barrel-aged beers with Holiday Distillery up in Weston.
Weston, yeah.
We have so many awesome local beers. And we had Gordo's Golden Ale with Alex Gordon. And he's a big fan of the brewery, and we're a big fan of his.
Yeah, so he's a great guy.
That was
he's
so fun awesome to bring to life.
Yeah.
And we do a partner beer with the Royals, which they're just phenomenal partners every year. We have Casey Current. Mm-hmm. We make some seltzers and actually a beverage just for them, Selly Juice, which is doing so well at the stadium. The Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, we have a beer coming out later on this year. We've got a beer in support of, we have so many things going on, it's wild, but Win for Casey is a big partnership that we have here. It's really cool. Also, the American Royal, 150 years.
Right.
We're going to make a beer to celebrate that.
Oh, gosh, that is awesome. That is really cool. So then you sort of gear it towards who they are as well, right? I mean, if you're going to do an American Royal beer, it's going to have something to do with cowboys and rodeo and, you know, whatever it may be, whatever the taste or the, the aroma or whatever it is of the beer, right?
Yeah, we always are really considerate of the beer that we make, mm-hmm. to honor whatever partnership. A lot goes into it. We work very closely with them. I'm not going to blow that American Royal beer is because it's really an exciting one and it's bringing a beer back.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it at that.
That's okay.
But yes, always they're by design. I mean, for example, Casey Current, their ownership group or the owners came here and sat down and we tried beers together. We tried seltzers together. They were the Longs were very interested in what they were going to be selling, mm-hmm. at the stadium, which was so cool to see.
They were very hands-on.
Absolutely.
People, yeah.
And the Royals are the same way. They want to get involved in our process, understand the beers and beverages. We invite them into that process. And it is very Kansas City, right? I mean, it embodies who we are as a community, and we're really proud of that.
Yeah, I know. I just think that's terrific. And you are also very environmentally friendly, too. You touched a little bit on Ripple Glass. I know you have a solar array up here. You have green space as well. Just talk a little bit about that, how conscious you are of planet Earth, because it is the only planet with beer, right?
Yeah, we know of, but we're making that claim, and we're going to stick with it. Yeah, we're a zero landfill facility, so if you walk around, it's okay to ask which trash can or which bin to throw things, because mm-hmm. there might be 8 different bins for sorting different recyclables. So we're zero landfill here. I talked about Ripple Glass. I mean, John McDonald had a vision of glass recycling, and you look at it now, you see those bins all across Kansas City and beyond, statewide and in some other states. And we're honored to have been a part of that, of Ripple Glass. And you know, sustainability is at the center of everything we do, and Duvel Mortgat globally has a big initiative around sustainability. In fact, we're having some meetings next week around that very thing. And and sustainability is something that you have to commit to, not just morally, or you have to commit your pocketbook.
It's not cheap.
No, it's not.
To be environmentally friendly.
And it's not, but it's the commitment we need to make as a leader here. locally and then globally. Duval Moorcat's making that commitment to be as environmentally friendly as possible. And it's really cool because we're a family organization, and you meet the new next generations and of the Moorcat family, and that's their big central theme is sustainability.
Yeah.
And it's cool to be a part of that. So yes, it is at the core of everything we do.
Yeah, I also think a big thing for you, I think you probably could have looked around somewhere and found a different place to have your complex, okay? But you've never moved. You're right down here on Southwest Boulevard, there are historic buildings everywhere. Been extreme. Your first keg went to Ponax, which is still in business right down the street, under John McDonald's pickup truck, which is the famous story. But you've always stayed here, and you've never looked to move. I know you have a bigger warehouse somewhere because you just didn't have the space.
Sure.
But everything else is right here in this neighborhood, and I think that helps the neighborhood. And I think that is terrific for Boulevard to have continued to do that.
Absolutely. This is our heartbeat where we are today, and. You know, John had a vision of what he wanted to do here, and everything that he and then ultimately also Duval Moorcat have invested has been right here on site. We love being part of the city. We love being downtown. You know, it's where we get a lot of inspiration from so many great restaurants and partners around downtown. We just couldn't even imagine it any other way. Yes, we have a warehouse that's offsite. I don't think we could quite fit it here, but we do have, we keep a lot of materials here, and we would have it no other way. We love Kansas City, we love this area, and we're just really proud to be a part of it.
All right, before we talk about Boulevardia, which is just a huge deal, and other things you do, all the great things you do in the community, both charity-wise and for the community as far as Boulevardia is concerned, what else can you do inside Boulevard besides drink beer?
Oh my gosh. Well, where we're at is
the only thing I'm going to say is behind me is the shuffleboard.
Right.
Now, all I'm seeing is a 90-year-old guy like me just, you know, shuffling down a shuffleboard. But the young kids have picked it up.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the shuffleboard tables. You've got the shuffleboard on the floor. You've got, you know, you got all kinds of things for people to do when they come down here besides just drink.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very family-friendly spot. So people that visit oftentimes bring their kids. We have bingo, we've got trivia nights. We have, I mean, the folks that program all the events here are just phenomenal. They have, they're very creative. So there's lots to do here that's not just drink beer. And we have non-alc beers for people that aren't drinking for the moment. But yeah, a lot of activities. The food here is good, really good. And we've got a lot of pairings that we do, and then you also could take a tour. There are different tours you can go on based on how much you know, technical information you want, and there's also ones where you get a pairing with some small bites and some beers, so you can really have an awesome experience. And I always urge people, you know, we all have those friends that come from out of town.
Oh yeah.
And you're thinking, what am I going to do with them, right? Well, you're welcome here. We'll help entertain them, and they always just, I think, leave with a great vision of Kansas City from here. It's got an awesome view.
That's downtown, what I was just going to say. You know? It's going to turn. All I have to do is look out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
Or be over at the Muehlbach venue and stand up on that balcony out there, and you just go, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable.
In my role here at the brewery, I get to host a lot of folks coming from out of town. So we have business partners from all around the country, and they come in with what they think Kansas City is.
Mm-hmm.
And 95% of the time, they just couldn't be more wrong. And, and they're the ones that admit it. They are blown away by how vibrant this place is. They're blown away by the brewery, its scale. So I would always encourage people to come down here and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, right. You can always point out all the spots. So you go,
right over
here is Liberty Memorial. That's World War I Museum. And there is the Kauffman Center of the Fine Arts. And, you know, right down there is Union Station where they have bullet holes in the wall. I mean, you've got, it's all right here.
Absolutely. And you can walk to so many great restaurants and different bars. I mean, there's just a phenomenal experience down here. So
yeah, let's talk about Boulevardia.
Yes.
And all the great things you've done in the past and all the great things you're going to do in the future with Boulevardia and what it means and what it has meant to this city.
Yeah, it's where great beer, first and foremost, and certainly in my opinion, meets music, meets food. It's a festival celebrating Kansas City. You know, having grown up here, I remember all the great festivals we had all downtown. And, you know, over time, some of those festivals, and, you know, by no fault of their own, may have just phased out over time. And it's
gone to another area.
Yeah, gone to a different area. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to bring that festival environment downtown. The folks that work on it, both here that work for the brewery, and then we have a board that, these aren't folks that work for the brewery. They work elsewhere. They have different careers, and they volunteer their time. They put it on, and they go. We have a group named Mammoth that's helping us sign music acts. We got a great lineup. It's a fantastic experience. It's for beer lovers.
Right.
So there's a beer tasting event that is a lot of fun. But if you're not into beer, or maybe you just want to have a couple, the music's great. Mm-hmm. The food is phenomenal. We have different food experiences all throughout the campus of Boulevardia. It's over at Crown Center. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's 2 days. It's Father's Day weekend every year, which, you know, as a father, as a dad, I'm happy to
drive dad to Boulevardia.
Yeah, that's right. What a gift.
You better give him a Uber ride home or whatever.
And then let him sleep in on Sunday because it's just Friday and Saturday.
That's it.
But it makes for an awesome Father's Day weekend, and we get a lot of visitors in town for it. And we're looking forward to a great one this year.
Yeah, so, and this is an evergreen project with the Boulevard, but we're doing this in 2024. And I know 2024's event, and this will be on before Boulevardia. So I'm just thinking it is, now you're going to have, it's going to be basically all local, isn't it? All local craft beer makers, wine, local wine makers, of course, Boulevard Brewery and all that. So that is different as well, isn't it?
Yeah, in years past, we've sought to bring breweries from around the country. Some of the beers that are hard for people locally or regionally to get, we've brought them into Kansas City and had folks experience that. And that's been really fun, you know, and gave people the first chance to drink a beer like from Russian River, which is a very popular brewery in California. And we may very well do that again, but we thought this year, you know, Missouri and Kansas have it going on when it comes to brewing. There are so many great breweries in Missouri and Kansas. Let's highlight those breweries. So we've brought them into the fold of Boulevardia. Some have been before, and so now, if you go to Taps and Taste, which is the ticket you would buy to experience that beer tasting, and along with that, there are, I don't know, 50 restaurants that bring a dish for you to try along with your beer. And so it's going to be all Missouri and Kansas breweries.
Wow.
And that should be a lot of fun. It'll highlight some of our neighbors that support the heck out of us.
Yeah, the other exploding thing around here is wineries.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, you just go, what? Where were they? Were we California now, or what's the deal? Well, I think the climate's moving our way, right?
Well,
I think that's part of it, right?
Something's working out for us, but yes, Missouri, Kansas, Kansas City in particular have wonderful food and beverage scene.
God, yeah, that's awesome. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you're in California, in San Diego, everybody's dream of a place. The weather's the same every day, 300, which would get boring, 365 days a year. But you decided with your family to come back here to Kansas City. Why? And I know the pool was your first taste of pale ale, I guess.
Sure.
But why did you make that decision? And I know that was probably a big decision in your life.
It was. You know, my wife, Leslie, is from Marshall, Missouri, and then ultimately Columbia, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So we met in college. So she has local roots. And we loved our adventure. You know, we loved San Diego for all the reasons you mentioned. It was an awesome, awesome community. Loved living in the Bay Area, so much going on. But our heart was always here. And while we were moving around, you know, those 10 years, Kansas City was on quite a run. And I always loved Kansas City. You know, I look back at every year I lived here very fondly. But Kansas City really developed even more so during those 10 years. And I think it's evidenced by how many people don't leave Kansas City now. I think at that time, you know, you felt like you had to go out and experience
Chicago York or
absolutely
Washington, somewhere like that.
Yeah, I think there was some pressure, whether false pressure or you put it on yourself, that that commerce happened outside of Kansas City.
I'm not staying here.
Right.
I'm going to Dallas.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, we did that. We experienced some of the country, but so much opportunity existed here. And, you know, as we were, my wife and I, we had our two boys, Luke and Dane, Luke in San Diego, Dane in the Bay Area. You know, our condo was getting smaller, right? cost of living was a little bit high. Yeah. And we would go back to Kansas City every Christmas and every summer. And so all of our vacation time for work was spent going back home. And every time we came here, it sounds cheesy, but it was harder to leave.
Yeah.
A, because of family, but B, because we love this place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bought the Royal MLB package every year so I could watch every Royals game. I bought the NFL package every year so I could watch every Chiefs game. We were still living in Kansas City via California.
Via San Francisco, yeah.
And paying San Francisco prices.
Yeah,
and we loved it there. It was a lot of fun, but our heart was here. And then it was really neat when the opportunity for Boulevard came up, because that's where my passion for beer, my passion for Kansas City came together, and then my family, which is paramount for me and obviously for my wife. When those three things came together, we couldn't have said yes fast enough.
So, yeah, right. It was a no-brainer for you at that point.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And I got to be a part of the Boulevard team, and it was every bit that I imagined.
Yeah. Plus, I think Kansas City has really developed a personality now. People around the country are finally taking notice and going, you know what? Because we had the draft, and we've had Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs have been doing so well, and the Royals in 14 and 15, and people just sort of perk up and go, you know what, Kansas City keeps popping up on my thing the
Absolutely.
Whole time.
Absolutely. I applaud our leadership
in
Kansas City. I really do, for being forward-thinking. We've had so many great leaders here. It just makes you proud. Yeah. Obviously, we've had a lot of success on the field. I'm a big sports fan.
Which helps.
Yes.
I mean, it helps get your name out there and the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. For a university, they keep sports at their core, because they know that helps recruit. And I think it helps build Kansas City's brand. The Current, what a cool addition to Kansas City that's been. So, yeah, I think Kansas City has a lot going for it. One of the things that always makes me laugh when I have folks from out of town, they always say, why does everyone in Kansas City wear Kansas City shirts? They're shocked by this. They don't understand. They're like, I heart Kansas City. But you're not a visitor.
Why are you
saying that? I get the I heart New York when you came from downtown. I said, because we love ourselves. I mean, I'm sure that I own no less than 20 Charlie Hustle I heart KC shirts. And I'm going to buy more.
Sure.
But we do love ourselves. And I'm proud of that. I don't find it, you know, corny or cheesy. I think it's just a real pride that we take. And I hope we always stay that way.
Yeah, right. And I think it has developed over maybe the last 20 years too. Because I think we always had a chip on our shoulder.
Right.
No, we're not St. Louis.
Right.
We're not Chicago. We're not Denver. You know, it was, poor us, deal. And I think that has been erased over the past 20 years. It's been totally erased, where now we're proud. Like you said, everywhere we go, 20 years ago, they might have been embarrassed. Okay, Kansas City, what are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, and now all of a sudden it's, we're from Kansas City.
And they all want to come back. Every visitor
I bring,
they all want to come back. There's another barbecue restaurant they haven't hit. There's a stadium they haven't seen, a beer they haven't tasted. We got something special. We have something very special.
That's why we say there's just something about Kansas City, Bobby.
Absolutely.
And here's to you. Here's the Boulevard. Continued wonderful success. To Sir Bobby Dykstra, okay? I will always call you that from now on.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for Boulevard.